Would you all please rise at this time? Father Yahweh, again, we come before you on this, your holy Sabbath day. We seek, Father, more understanding of you. We ask, Father, that you would grant us more of your Holy Spirit. We ask, Father, that you would open our understanding and teach us the deeper things of your law. As we seek, Father, to draw closer to you, we ask, Father, that you would draw closer to us and that you would give us, Father, that which we desire, your Spirit, so that we can be able to be at one with you and be in your kingdom when Yahshua returns. Help us to overcome this world and Satan the devil, Father, as we choose Yahshua as our lamb, as we choose Yahshua as our wave sheaf offering, as we choose Yahshua, Father, as our great sacrifice. So, Father, as we come before you on this evening's hour, we ask that you would bless us, that you would be with us, that you would touch our hearts and enlighten us as we seek to gain more understanding in your word. Forgive us, Father, for any sins that we may have committed against you. And we have an advocate with you, Father, your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, whose blood cleanses all our sin. And we ask in Yahshua's name, Father, that you would bless us, that you would protect us and be with us. Raise us up, Father, at the last day as we seek to be the first fruits like your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. In his holy name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. This message is entitled, Three Times in the Year. We're going to start over in Deuteronomy chapter 16. Verse 16, it says, three times in a year shall all your males appear before Yahweh your Elohim in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before Yahweh empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of Yahweh, your Elohim, which he has given you. Now, in this passage, it's telling us that we should come before Yahweh three times in the year. Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is in the month Abib, Passover season. Feast of Weeks, which is now. Okay, tomorrow, actually starting sundown. It'll be the Feast of Weeks. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, which is 3.5 months down the road. Now, it says in verse 17, well, in verse second part of 16, and they shall not appear before Yahweh empty. Okay, that means we should bring an offering. Every man in verse 17 shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of Yahweh, your Elohim, which he has given you. Exodus chapter 23, verse 14, it says three times. You shall keep a feast to me in the year. The Feast of Unleavened Bread shall you keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month Abib, For in it you came forth, you came out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Verse 16, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labor, which you sow in the field, and at the feast of ingathering, which is tabernacles, at the end of the year, when you gather in your labors out of the field, three times in the year all your males shall appear before the sovereign Yahweh. So these are commanded to us in the Torah. It's telling us that we have to come before Yahweh these three times in the year. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 22. And you shall surely tithe all the increase of your seed, that which comes forth from the field year by year, and you shall eat before Yahweh your Elohim in the place which he shall choose to cause his name to dwell there, the tithe of your grain, of your new wine, and of your oil, and the firstling of your flock, and of your, the firstling of your herd and of your flock, that you may learn to fear Yahweh your Elohim always. So, this is not the same as the first tithe. This is a different tithe, because the first tithe is holy to Yahweh. And that of that tithe is not being used for your personal use, for anything. In Leviticus chapter 27, verse 26, only the firstling among beasts which is made a firstling to Yahweh, no man shall sanctify it, whether it is the ox or sheep, it is Yahweh's. And if it is of an unclean beast, then he shall ransom it according to your estimation, and shall add to it the fifth part of it. Or if it is not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to your estimation. However, no devoted thing that a man shall devote to Yahweh of all that he has, whether of man or beast, or of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy to Yahweh. No one devoted that shall be devoted from among men shall be ransomed. He shall surely be put to death, whoever does this. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is Yahweh's. It is holy to Yahweh. This is the first tithe. And if a man will redeem any of his tithe, he shall add the fifth part to it. And all the tithe of the herd or of the flock, whatever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy to Yahweh. He shall not search whether it is good or bad, neither shall he change it. And that for which it is changed shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which Yahweh commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. Now go back over to Deuteronomy chapter 14. You'll see the difference. In Deuteronomy 14, let's look at this last part of verse 23. It says, the tithe of your grain and of your new wine and of your oil and the firstling of your herd and of your flock, that you may learn to fear Yahweh your Elohim always. And if the way is too long for you, so that you're not able to carry it, because the place is too far from you, which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose to set his name there, when Yahweh your Elohim shall bless you, then shall you turn it into money and bind up the money in your hand, and shall go to the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose. So, say you lived in Galilee, up in Nazareth. And you're going to keep the feast in Jerusalem. And you can't bring your herds, your flocks, you can't bring these animals that far. It would take a lot of time. So he's saying, sell it. Sell the animals, bind it up, take the money in your hand, then go to the place where he's chosen, the place's name, to keep the feast. Then with that money in your hand, verse 25, then shall you turn it into money and bind up the money in your hand and shall go to the place which Yahweh Elohim shall choose. And you shall use the money for whatever your soul desires, for oxen, for sheep, for wine, for strong drink. Or for whatever your soul asks of you. And you shall eat there before Yahweh, your Elohim, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. And the Levite that is within your gates, you shall not forsake him, for he has no portion nor inheritance with you. And this is where we start in the third tithe. See? And at the end of every 3 years, you shall bring forth all the tithe of your increase in the same year. And shall lay it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the sojourner, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within your gates shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that Yahweh Elohim may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. So we're about to enter into a third year tithe, which is the sixth year. The third year of the cycle and the sixth year. Okay? So what happens is that you not only keep a first tithe, you keep a second tithe. And in that sixth year, you're going to keep a third tithe. So the second tithe is for you to get you to the feast. That's the money that you put back to get you there. It's also the money that you use to give an offering. See, Yahweh says back in Deuteronomy 16, it says, three times in a year shall all your males appear before Yahweh Elohim in the place which he shall choose. And then it talks about which feast. And then it says, they shall not appear before Yahweh empty. This is a commandment. See, if we're keeping our second tithe, then we'll have the money. We will be able to not be empty when we come before Yahweh. We'll have an offering. We'll have food. We'll have what we need. Now, I know a lot of people get caught up. They're not working the whole year, okay? And Yahweh will still bless you because you give according to how you're able to give. And that was one of the things Mac was very, very adamant about. Even the ones that had a limited income or were on a set fixed income, he says, you know, if they come with something and they say, you know, I need a little help, we'll give them the help they need. See, because some of us are blessed a little bit more than others, but, you know, for us to always get that blessing, we have to be obedient. We have to trust Yahweh. And when we trust Yahweh and give that first tithe, and keep the second tithe, the rest is easy. Even the third tithe year, Yahweh has already given you a blessing, those that are working, because they take Social Security out of your check. They've already taken that money. And you can use part of that towards your third tithe because you're already given it. You understand? And Yahweh has control, but we don't have any control over it. So, I mean, the money is going to help those who are widows, those who are orphans, and sojourners. The only group that it doesn't help is the Levites, the priests. Okay? So what we do is we allow you to deduct that from your third tithe, whatever the difference is, and you store that up. And the other thing that we do with the third tithe year is that it talks about those that are within your gates, those who are in your locale that have an issue. You use that third tithe to help those who are, you know, around you. You see the need, you solve it. It's not the leadership that does that, because the money is within your gates. You have control over that third tithe money. That's not to be sent unless you get to the end of the year and you say, I have access, I have this money left over, I haven't given all my third tithe. Do you know some people that could use the money, or we want to send it to Africa or whatever? Then we can do that, okay? But for the most part, it's up to you. If you want to send an offering from your third tithe to Africa, that's on you. It's still in your control. But the second tithe is what you need to have to be able to eat and rejoice before Yahweh. And when you keep it, I guarantee you, you will have a great feast. You will rejoice because you will have food. You'll have the things you need. Whether you drink a beer or drink some wine or whatever, it says you can do that. You know, there's a lot of people say, well, you can't drink. The Bible doesn't say that. It tells us not to get drunk, not to get out of control. We have to have self-control. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But too many people misinterpret the word because of something that they've been taught while they was a child, or we can't, sin is dancing, playing cards, and drinking. Okay, because that's what somebody thought was negative, and that's what they thought sin was. Sin is anything that you do in excess that is wrong or negative. You can drink in excess, yes. But what we want to do is maintain self-control. You know, we've been at feasts in the past where people were out of control and they were sinning. But to have a drink with your brethren, and rejoice and have a good time, nothing wrong with it at all. And that's what Yahweh wants us to do. He wants us to enjoy. It tells us that we're supposed to rejoice. Turn over to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. This is not the one I'm looking for. I think I already had it. What's that? No, I think what I'm looking for was back in Deuteronomy. I was there. Yeah. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 13, it says, you shall keep the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after you have gathered in from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant and the Levite and the sojourner and the fatherless and the widow, all of the groups that are within your gates. 7 days shall you keep a feast to Yahweh, your Elohim, in the place which Yahweh shall choose, because Yahweh, your Elohim, will bless you in all your increase and in all the work of your hands, and you shall be altogether joyful. That means you don't come to the Feast of Tabernacles sad. You come rejoicing because you've kept the commandments. See? Now, from this time, after the offering tomorrow, okay, you have about 3.5 months to the tabernacle. And if everybody keeps their second tithe, they'll have whatever, I don't know what your income is, but you'll have that much money towards what you need to do. But you got to trust Yahweh. This is important. Because if you trust him, you will see the blessings in your life. And those of us that are doing this, I'm telling you, it is something, it just makes you magnify Yahweh. It makes you praise him in everything because you see the blessings in your life. See? And people And Yahweh knows, and he may even put it in their hearts. And this is another thing, because the sabbatical year is coming up. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15. We'll start in verse 1. It says, at the end of every 7 years you shall make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor shall release that which he has lent to his neighbor. He shall not exact it of his neighbor and his brother, because Yahweh's release has been proclaimed. Of a foreigner you may exact it. But whatever of yours is with your brother, your hand shall release. However, there shall be no poor with you, for Yahweh will surely bless you in the land which Yahweh Elohim gives you for an inheritance to possess it. If only you diligently listen to the voice of Yahweh Elohim, to observe to do all this commandment which I command you this day, for Yahweh Elohim will bless you as he promised you. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall rule over many nations, but they shall not rule over you. So if we're faithful, we're going to be in a position because we're blessed. Yahweh's going to give us all the things we have need of. Verse 7, if there be with you a poor man, one of your brethren, within any of your gates in your land, which Yahweh Elohim gives you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand from your poor brother, because he didn't do what Yahweh commanded him to do. Or maybe he got hurt or something happened that he was not able to, like I said, maybe he didn't have a job and he wasn't able to keep the second tithe. Okay? Now, but you shall surely open your hand to him and shall surely lend him enough for his need and that which he wants. Beware lest there is not a base thought in your heart, saying the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye is evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cries to Yahweh against you, and it is sin to you. You shall surely give him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing, Yahweh Elohim will bless you and all your work and all that you put your hand to. For the poor will never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall surely open your hand to your brother, to your needy, and to your poor in your land. Now, again, this is based on trust. If we trust Yahweh, because he has told us in his word what he's going to do, he's going to bless us if we're faithful, if we keep his commandments, if we do that which is right in his sight. So, again, tomorrow, or actually in a few minutes here in the East, or actually we have about a half hour before the feast day starts. But what we have to understand is that Yahweh has told us what we need to do in counting towards the 50th day. He's also told us that three times in the year we're to come before him. He talks about the set feasts. So, Leviticus chapter 23, turn over there. And start in verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the set feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my set feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. a holy convocation. You shall do no manner of work. It is a Sabbath to Yahweh in all your dwelling. Now drop down to verse 22. Verse 20. And the priest shall wave with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before Yahweh with the two lambs, and they shall be holy to Yahweh for the priest. And you shall make proclamation on this very day, the 50th day, there shall be a holy convocation to you. You shall do no servile work. It is a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generation. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. Neither shall you gather the gleaning of your harvest. And you shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Almighty Yahweh is faithful. He blesses his people bountifully if we're faithful. Turn over to the book of Ruth. Chapter 2, verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, Do you not hear, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither pass from here, but remain here close to my maidens. Let your eyes be on the field that they reap, and go after them. For I have not charged the young men. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said to him, Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take knowledge of me since I am a foreigner? She was a sojourner in Israel. And Boaz did the commandment. He didn't harvest his whole field. He left the gleanings there for those of the poor that were gleaning, looking for some food. In verse 11, and Boaz answered and said to her, It has been fully showed me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people that you did not know before this time. Yahweh shall repay your work, and a full reward will be given you of Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Then she said, Let me find favor in your sight, kind sir, for you have comforted me, and because you have spoken kindly to your handmaid, though I am not as one of your handmaidens. And verse 17, drop down there, it says, So then she gleaned in the field until evening, and she beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that which she had left after she was satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, Where have you gleaned today, and where have you worked? Blessed be he that took knowledge of you. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed is he of Yahweh, who has not left off the kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said to her, the man is a near kin to us, one of our near kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, yes, he even said to me, you shall keep close by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maidens and that they do not meet you in any other field. So she kept close to the maidens of Boaz to glean to the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. See, Ruth was blessed because she was taking care of her mother-in-law. She didn't have to, but she was being faithful. She was honoring her mother, even though this was her mother-in-law. Okay? But she was doing what Yahweh commanded, which is gleaning. Okay? She didn't have a job. This was her job. And Yahweh blessed her because he took notice of her, Boaz. And then she ended up marrying into the lineage of our Savior. See, Yahweh is wonderful. He blesses us with the things that we have need of. He knows what we have need of even before we ask. This is why he commands us to keep the commandments, every aspect of the commandments. If Ruth would have gone somewhere else, she would not have received the blessing. See? But Boaz was a righteous man. He, according to the scripture, he didn't harvest the corners of his field, as it says here. He left them so that there would be food in Yahweh's house for the poor. Actually, turn over to Psalm 11. In Yahweh I take refuge. I'll say to you, to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Yahweh is in his holy temple. Yahweh, his throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men. Yahweh tries the righteous, but the wicked and him that loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain snares, fire and brimstone, and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For Yahweh is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright shall behold his face. They're going to see Yahweh, the upright, because they are keeping the covenant and being faithful in all things. Proverbs chapter 3. And we'll close here. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 1, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and for years of life and peace will they add to you. Let not kindness and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of Elohim and man. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and depart from evil. It will be health to your navel and marrow to your bone. Honor Yahweh with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your vats shall overflow with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of Yahweh, neither be weary of his reproof. For whom Yahweh loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gets understanding, for the gaining of it is better than the gaining of silver, and the profit of it than fine gold. Yes, she is more precious than rubies, and none of the things you can desire are to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retains her. Yahweh, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and the skies dropped down dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then shall you walk in your way securely, and your foot shall not stumble. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, when you lie down, you shall lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of desolation of the wicked. When it comes, for Yahweh will be your confidence, and will keep your foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hands to do it. Say not to your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when you have it by you. Almighty Yahweh wants us to be blessed. He's given us the formula to do so in keeping the first, second, and third tithe. When we trust Yahweh, we receive this blessing from on high, because he told us that if we give our tithes and offerings, he would open the windows of heaven and bless us. I'm telling you that today to trust Yahweh. And if you trust Yahweh, he's going to bless you with everything you have need of. So you don't have to worry about where your blessings are coming from. Trust Yahweh, and he will give you those blessings from on high. Now remember, three times in a year, we're commanded to come before Yahweh. And he'll bless you. And Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him. At this time, I'd ask you to all stand. We'll have a closing prayer. Almighty Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, asking, Father, for forgiveness for any sins that we might have committed against you. We ask, Father, that you would continue to bless your servant as we come before you. We thank you, Father, for this feast and for this Sabbath day, that we can come before you to gain the knowledge that you've prepared for us in your word. Again, Father, we thank you for all of the blessings from on high that you bestowed upon your servants. Continue to guide us and give us more of your spirit, because we know that your spirit is life, and it comes from the words in this book. Your words are life and they're spirit. So as we gain more of your spirit, Father, we ask that you would continually watch over and bless us. In the name of your son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask that you bless all those that have a petition before you on the prayer list. Again, Father, we thank you for calling us out of this sinful world into your marvelous light. We love you, and we thank you for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For our closing song, we're going to be singing number 12, In the Shadow of Your Wings.